Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, on a Tuesday night, August the 30th, 2016. I'm Dre, he's Jay. Our Skinner Classical reunion tour will continue tonight. Our old grade school from Chicago, Illinois, from back in the day, we had Renard on last week as part of his team with Kaz. They make up Football Fan Rush Radio. We always have a great time chatting and going back and forth with them. And scheduled to come on tonight is our old buddy Tim, our DC correspondent. Grew up in Chicago just like us, and just like us, moved out of Chicago. He's been a Washington, DC native for a long time now. And Jason, should be a very interesting show. There's a lot to talk about as far as the NFL goes on and off the field, and whether Tim is able to join us or not, I'm sure we'll get to all of it. Jason, are you there? Now, this is funny. I clicked Jason's microphone, but it still says hold time. So he's been blabbing, but he's not on the air. So I'm going to mute him and then bring him back up and see if that works.
All right.
Jason, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Okay.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I was talking for a minute there. And never good when I get the hello. Oh boy.
You can put that one on me. I think you came up like literally seconds before we went live, and I thought it would be all good if I clicked you through, but I guess I have to wait until we're actually live to let you on the show.
Well, we're still learning 150 some shows, 160 shows. We still have to get this right. That's okay. At least we're on the air now. I feel a little upset that we don't actually have our Football Fan Rush folks on tonight so that we could talk about Teddy Bridgewater.
Oh, poor guy.
After Cass kind of trashed poor Teddy Bridgewater. Bet she wishes he was there now.
You don't like the way Teddy Bridgewater is coming along? How you like some Sean Hill? What do you think of that?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a strong suspicion. Well, that's almost like the tell me how my ass tastes bit with Shaq and Kobe. I mean, you want to trash Teddy? Oh boy.
Okay. Now you don't have Teddy, so
Sure not going to look pretty. I have a suspicion that the Vikings will make some kind of a move. They have to. I mean, you're going to get to final cutdowns here at some point. There's going to be somebody to bring in to compete with Sean Hill because you cannot put your hopes and dreams in a competitive. I mean, you've got the Packers in that division. We don't know what we're going to get from the Bears or the Lions, but I'm sure that they, their ears have perked up. I'm sure. Now that there looks to be a window, I mean, you basically have other defenses now are all, but if they weren't just all in 12 in the box, as Renard said it on the last show against Adrian Peterson, it's going to be like 15 in the box right now.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, what's available? Is it, Colin Kaepernick in a trade? Is it Mark Sanchez? Geno Smith. I don't know what exactly they can go to. I don't know who's out there that's going to be a major upgrade over Sean Hill. I think that they might be kind of stuck with what they got.
There's always some. There's always someone. That there could be some journeyman kind of guy. Might not be a big upgrade over Sean Hill, but you got to try something. This guy was there strictly to be the backup. They were not expecting this to have to be their guy for the whole year. It looks bleak. That's all I'll say for the Vikings. I mean, that's still a solid group. Sean Hill's, he's what, 36 years old, 37 years old? Not a young guy. His arm was never that great to begin with. And
I was about to say, he wasn't any good 10 years ago.
Right. So, yeah, the NFC North, basically, it's over. Can we call it? Can we call it before the season started? It's over.
I'm going to just give it to the Packers now?
We might as well. Unless Aaron Rodgers blows his ACL out tomorrow in practice.
Oh, dear. You know, if that happens, you're going to get all the hate mail.
Well, anything can happen. When I saw that Bridgewater got hurt, I'm thinking, here we go. We get to this. So I'm reading into it, you know, because I don't get paid. It's preseason, so I haven't been all over the news. But I'm like, okay, it's Monday or Tuesday. So this happened in the last day or two. So there was no preseason game. So we don't even get the angle of, it's the preseason, you know, what you get with every time you get somebody hurt in the preseason, that's always the angle. No, this was just practice.
Talking about practice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good old-fashioned non-contact injury.
Yeah, just blows out his knee in practice and basically just sort of torpedoes the Vikings season. They're going to struggle. I don't think there's any other way to put it. I mean, I'm sure they're going to put a positive spin on this in the media, and we'll get all the bios on Sean Hill, and you'll get some idiot talking head is going to try to be like, well, no, you know, they still have a good chance. No, it's done. Just, I got the fork. Let's stick it in them.
They got a couple weeks until the season starts. We'll see what they wind up doing, but we'll move from the current division champs in the NFC North out to the current division champs in the NFC East. And the man on the scene for the Washington Redskins, our buddy from Chicago, our longtime buddy from Skinner Classical, joins us once again, long time ago. Our guy Tim out in DC. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, not much. How's it going, guys?
Good. Good.
Yeah, we're just with you guys again.
Yeah, I feel old when you come on the show.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because my birthday is next week, and I think you guys may have already turned 40, but yeah. I'll be 40 next week.
Oh, you'll be joining the club.
Yeah, joining the club September 8th. Time to have a birthday because it's usually, it's the start of the football season.
Yeah.
So it's a good time to have a birthday.
You got anything planned, or are you waiting to have something sprung on you like I did?
Actually, we're just having my dad and stepmom, they moved up to North Carolina last year, so they're coming down, and my brother and his girlfriend are coming out, and we're just going to have a family dinner.
Cool.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, nice restaurant locally. So we're just going to have dinner. So that'll be it. Just, you know, good friends, you know, close friends and family. Yeah. Keep it low key.
You know,
just watch out for having a Vegas trip sprung on you.
Yeah. My wife and his wife got together and set up this big thing where he completely did not know that we just went out to Vegas in January. Just no idea. Just got him on a plane out to Vegas and spent 3 or 4 days out there. So it was a great little surprise.
That's a nice surprise. I mean, my family, we're going to do a vacation in October. But that would have been a real nice surprise.
Well, you know, when you join the club, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. You got to do it big.
That's right. And, of course, on this show, when you join the club, we have a special little something for you as well.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Yeah, when you become a man, now you're officially a man. Now, when you get that for you,
wonderful. I definitely right. feel it now. Thank you, guys.
I know that's the only thing that would have made it complete for you. Okay, out in DC, came out of nowhere the Redskins last year. A lot of people didn't think all that much of them. You know, they weren't going to be garbage. They weren't the Titans or anything like that. But no one really thought they were going to have too much success. And then, of course, the controversy with Robert Griffin III, Kirk Cousins, and all of that right. swirling around. Somehow turns into a division championship out of nowhere. What was it like up there in D.C. as this team sort of came from the back of the pack and wound up sort of the head of the class?
Well, the mood of the city, definitely it rises and it falls with the Redskins. So when they have success, I mean, everybody feels it. And of course, and surprisingly enough, there are a lot of Cowboy fans in the D.C. area.
So oh, God,
the
they're everywhere.
Well, and the Cowboys don't. I mean, that is just the ultimate.
Right.
I mean, because you see it in the same families where you'll because one of my this guy I used to work with, he was a Cowboy fan, but then everybody else, his family, were Redskins fans. And, you know, my mother-in-law is a Cowboy fan. I mean, these are, you know, people who aren't from Dallas, but, you know, it's America's team. And, you know, I think people just do it despite the Redskins fans. But, yeah, so when the Redskins do well and the Cowboys don't, I mean, that is just the ultimate. I mean,
I can tell you.
It could be better.
Cowboy Nation is everywhere, Tim. I got to tell you, down here in Memphis, freaking Tennessee, which has yeah. nothing to do at all with the city of Dallas. You wouldn't believe how many Cowboys jackets and decals on cars that you see around. It's like, yeah, they get
yeah.
everywhere. They're like an infection. You can't get rid of them. It's disgusting.
Right. Yeah, no. Yeah, but down here, I mean, most people are from someplace else. So, you know, everybody down here roots for a different team. It's like I had a neighbor who she runs a government contracting business, and she actually had a, she was trying to, you know, she gave me some tickets. And, you know, so I was trying to find somebody to go to the game with, and I couldn't give the seats, I couldn't give them away. None of my friends are Redskins fans. You know, most of my close friends from college are from someplace else. So they're like Eagles fans and Steelers fans and stuff like that. So nobody wanted to go to the game, so I ended up going with my boss, who's a local. He's from Maryland, and he kind of right. likes the Redskins, so I ended up going with him. But, yeah, I mean, most of the people that I know root for another team.
So it sounds like when the Redskins come up and have the success and win the division last year, that a lot of those fans that were maybe cheering for him and going crazy, they were kind of laying low before that. You couldn't really tell who was a Redskins fan. There weren't that many of them.
Oh, no, definitely. That is not. I mean, everybody, you know, you see the jerseys. You still see number 10 jerseys around town.
Okay.
You know, the Redskins, I mean, it's really strong. I mean, especially, I mean, all of the native DC people. Yeah, I mean, they live and die with the Redskins.
So are they waiting for the other shoe to drop with Kirk Cousins, or do they think he's legitimate?
Oh my God.
Over there?
Yeah, I mean, because he definitely doesn't have the, you know, it kind of reminds me of Rex Grossman on the Bears, you know, where he just doesn't get any, respect, you know, even though he's had some success, you know, he's gotten results, but it's like they just need to see it again for them to believe it.
Ouch, a Grossman comparison. That's painful.
He came up on our last show, and that's not a compliment.
I was about to say, I think you sent Andre into a coma when you brought up.
He was on the Redskins.
He's having seizures right now.
He was the Redskins' third-string quarterback a few years ago, Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh, it's true.
I have visions of that that white and yellow jersey, and it was looking puffier and puffier every week as he sat there and seemed to get fatter and fatter. But yeah, that's that's telling that they sort of look at him askance and like Rex Grossman, like no matter what you do. And Grossman, of course, as everyone knows, got the Bears to a Super Bowl for the love of God. And still people looked at him like, okay, whatever, you know, you're still Rex Grossman. So Kirk is going to he's going to get that sort of the hope or the hype look. And apparently that's going to last for a long time. He's going to have to do a lot more than win a division to get over that.
Yeah, but nobody's talking about the Redskins. I mean, everybody is, you know, with the usual suspects, you know, the Packers, I mean, the Vikings before Teddy Bridgewater's injury. I mean, nobody was really talking about the Redskins, but, I mean, they have a chance. I mean, especially with, you know, Tony Romo on the verge of retirement.
But haven't you heard that Dak Prescott is the second coming?
Oh, of course. I have, you know, one of my good friends from college is a, you know, he's from Dallas and he's a Cowboy fan and he's been posting pictures of Dax, you know, and, you know, so we'll see. I mean, it's the division is wide open, but I think it's the Redskins to lose. Because the Eagles they're kind of in transition right now. Right now, the, you know, the Giants,
the Giants are sort of the wild card in that division. I don't think you actually know what they're going to get. If they decide to play any defense, they'd be decent, but they play no defense.
Right.
None. I mean, them and the Saints. Remember that game that they had with the Saints last year?
Yeah, no resistance whatsoever.
Where was from either team? There were 300 points or something scored in that game.
Right, yeah, exactly. I remember both quarterbacks had, you know, ridiculous, crazy yards. Yep. I think, I remember that game.
Yeah, historically, they were two of the worst defenses ever, both in the same season. So, yeah, the Giants don't really scare me. But, you know, the Redskins, it almost feels like by default, they'll win that
division.
That's that's why nobody's giving them any love, because it's like, you know, it's kind of like the Colts every year. It's like, everyone else is crap.
You just dominate a weak division.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, you win it, you still make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Hey, 7-9 still gets you in. Just ask Andre. I'm still rubbing that in. Don't worry.
I don't want to talk about that.
What? Tim might not know that that year that the Seahawks went 7-9. I picked them to go up. I picked them to beat the Saints coming there, and Andre just thought I was absolutely insane, and he's like laughing at me and rubbing it in my face, and
the Saints are like
well
a 10.5-point favorite on the road at Seattle. That's how little respect everyone had for the Seahawks.
Yeah,
and I thought that was an easy bet. 10.5, that's nothing, and that happened to be the Beast Mode game. So I'm sitting there watching, not only watching the Seahawks stay in the game and have the lead, and they're winning the game, and then Marshawn Lynch breaks off that beast mode run where he's just throwing stiff arms left and right and just throwing everybody off him, and even I had to like applaud and take notice, and you got to give him respect.
You stood up. Got off your couch for that play.
Yeah, because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I don't believe what I just saw. I couldn't believe it. But
and then a couple seconds later, your phone's buzzing. From me.
You're rubbing my face in it. That's right.
Hey, well.
You know, the interesting thing about that division, the NFC East, Tim, is Washington or any other team really can win that division, because it seems to me from the outside that every single team in that division is lacking on defense. Kirk Cousins can light up any of those other three defenses because they all have major problems. Like the Cowboys secondary can't stop anybody. The Giants have been very bad trying to stop the pass for a long time. You know, they're going to get better with the addition of Josh Norman. Norman went to Washington. I'm sorry, I got confused there. The Giants secondary is still, you know, sort of slow as far as I'm concerned. So Cousins can still
like Cousins
can
the Giants
good against anyone in that division.
Didn't the Giants
and the division games in the NFC East are always really close and kind of unpredictable anyway, you know, regardless of what, you know, kind of how the teams are doing during the season. The division games are always very competitive, regardless of, you know, how they're playing, you know, anybody else. So, I mean, that just always makes it, you know, really interesting, you know, when you watch just a random, you know, because the rivalries are always so, I mean, they're so intense. I mean, just from the top to the bottom of the division, I don't really think there's another division where every team hates the other team in the division quite the way they do in the NFC East.
No, there's no love in that division.
No, not at all.
So even when teams are bad, they show up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even, you know, a last place team could be the first place team. I mean, it's, you know, it's always that way. I mean, it's not like the North where, you know, the Packers just beat everybody. Bears can't beat anybody. You know, it's always competitive from top to bottom, even, you know, with the bad team. You know, if a team is having an awful season, they can, you know, step up and, you know, beat the first place team.
Now, I know the games
are on prime time, so they got to bring their A game. because of the media bias. You got to have the NFC East on no matter what.
Yeah. Well, we actually had a NFC East moratorium last year on the show.
It just got out of control. It was just too much. Every time you turned your TV on, this Cowboys this and Giants that, and then the Redskins, like I said, sort of surprised everybody. And probably the coup de grace on it was the Eagles under Chip Kelly. And that was that's seriously, I'm through. I've had enough. I'm so sick of them talking about Chip Kelly and the Eagles and Sam Bradford and all this. Oh, it was just nauseating. Right,
yeah,
so.
But that just ended up being a disaster. Yeah. We'll see what they can do. I mean, then, you know, they got DeMarco Murray and all this stuff. I mean, they were just supposed to be, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, and it just didn't work out in Philly.
Oh, God, that was the worst pickup ever.
One of my best friends is an Eagles fan, and I offered him one of the Redskins, you know, a Redskins ticket, and he was like, no, I got to go and watch the Eagles. He's like, I'm not even for free. I'm not watching the Redskins.
Well, now that's a fan.
Yeah.
Won't even step foot into the enemy territory.
Nope.
Even
nope.
For free.
So the Cousins RG3 thing winds up playing out where the coach Jay Gruden makes his decision to go with Kirk Cousins at the beginning of the year. And it's sort of like, okay, I'm not sure if this is going to work out or not. And RG3 never gets back on the field. Cousins keeps the job the whole way. And now Robert Griffin is out in Cleveland. So how is that going to work out?
I mean, Cousins showed a lot last year. I mean, he put up really good numbers, you know, didn't really turn the ball over. You know, if he does that again, I mean, the sky's the limit, I think, you know, for the Redskins. I mean, they have a lot of talent, you know, especially on offense. He's got a lot of weapons. You know, Deshaun Jackson. I keep forgetting the tight end's name. The guy that just came out of nowhere last year.
Oh, Jordan Reed.
Right, exactly. They got the good running game. I mean, they could. I mean, he's got weapons. But I mean, we'll see. I mean, because he's still kind of unproven. I mean, it's always you have to do it the second time before anybody really ever believes it. You know, so we'll see. I mean, it was crazy kind of how that worked out because, you know, Robert Griffin III. I mean, everybody, every kid, everybody had number 10 jerseys. And then just to see somebody that kind of was supposed to be, you know, your number one guy and the franchise guy and, you know, and all of that. I mean, and then for it to just fall apart the way that it did, I mean, it's just a shock. And the guy just never even put the uniform on.
Well, it didn't season. Fall apart. He fell apart.
Yeah. Well, literally, I mean, physically, and
yeah. In that one playoff game, you actually just watched his body crumbling.
Right, exactly. His knee, his ankle, I mean, everything just kind of fell apart. Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's young enough, and he's got enough talent where he could, but it's unfortunate it is on the Browns because there's no help for him. There's no help for him.
He kind of did get sent to Siberia. I mean, that's yeah. kind of that's the gulag right there. I mean,
yeah,
maybe they could have sent him to Jacksonville.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Oof. They've got some weapons up there. I mean, because I had Alan Hearns on my fantasy team last year. Man, I mean, that was just a random waiver wire pickup. And I mean, he wasn't even our number one receiver, and he had some really good games for me last year.
So wait a minute, Dre, right. is this 2 weeks in a row of Jaguar love? Is there something we're not missing?
we're overlooking the great Blake Bortles and Allen Robinson and the rest of the Jaguars. Don't sleep on the Jaguars, I guess.
On my fantasy team last year, I dropped Peyton Manning for Blake Bortles.
never thought in a million years you'd say that.
never. I feel like you just, hell would have frozen over. Elephants and pigs flying.
Well, that's what made Peyton retire, is everything else to be damned. When he heard about that transaction, oh my God, Tim dropped me for Bortles. All right, I'm through. I'm finished.
That's it.
I think they might have actually used that as some of their pregame pep talk before the Super Bowl.
You know, we have some haters out there.
I'm getting dropped for Blake Bortles. We got to win this game.
We got to win this game.
We got to win this game, and I'm out of here.
That's right.
Because if that's the case, he's undrafted this year.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Easy. So,
if he was playing, easy. I mean, he would be he'd be undrafted.
So are you still a Bears fan, Tim?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I still root for the. Actually, of the local teams, I don't really like the Redskins, but I'll root for the. I actually like the Wizards, and my son likes the Nationals. So I don't really have a National League team. So my son and I, we follow the Nationals. We've actually been to 3 games this year. So I root for the Nationals.
Okay.
Now that Nats Cubs NLCS is going to be fun then.
Yeah, that could be something.
Oh.
it's destiny. Bad. It's going to be Dusty Bush versus his old guys. You know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love. Oh, my. There'd be nothing better than to just take Dusty and whip him right out of the playoffs and just be done with him. Watch his pitcher's arms fall off mid-series.
Oh my God! Well, Strasburg is on the he's on the DL.
Yeah.
Well,
his arms already
the
exploded.
Dusty list. It, when Dusty's your manager, they call it the Dusty list. That's what the DL stands for.
The list of exploded elbows under Dusty Baker. It's a very long list.
But the Nets have had they've been pretty lucky with the injuries. I mean, knock on wood this year. They haven't Bryce Harper's been kind of nicked up a little bit this year, but you know, everybody else has been pretty – they haven't had a lot of major injuries. But, yeah, I mean, they're looking strong. I mean, they're kind of in a little bit of a slump right now. I think they've lost the last couple of games, but they shouldn't have any problems winning their division.
No. Yeah. I know it's getting close because when the Cubs win tonight, the thing flies up on the screen that says magic number 18. And I'm like, Jesus,
oh
we're not even
God.
In September yet.
Yeah, I know, really. It's still August.
They're destroying the division. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're
yeah,
four,
it's
they're
not
four,
even close.
They're 14 games up in that division. And that's over 2 good teams.
Yeah.
And they're knocking the Pirates out right now. It's going to be interesting to know that they don't have to play the play-in game. They'll actually, you know, get that series at home.
Right. Set your
and then the jitters start, and then the nervousness starts.
Right,
oh, stop lying. Jitters and the nervousness are there all the time for Cubs fans. Come on.
Right, because they just find a way to lose the playoffs.
Yeah. They'll find a way to blow this 14-game lead. Oh.
Just lose every game.
I have... I haven't gone that far overboard yet that I think they're going to actually blow the division.
Oh, my God. That would just be a historic collapse.
I don't think even the Cubs could blow this division. I don't think even they could pull that off.
No, that team is way too loaded. They're not putting this thing together with bubblegum and baling wire right now.
I mean, and the trades that they made at the deadline, I mean, they stacked up the bullpen. I mean, they got the bats. I mean, they're really all in this year.
No doubt about that. You know, Jason, the joke I was trying to tell you and Kamish a couple of shows ago when my microphone decided to just leave was that I was trying to say, I know that the security staff is going to be there at Wrigley Field once the playoffs start. They're going to take anybody that even looks like Bartman, and they're not going to let them in the building. They're just going to take them out to the side. They're going to escort them down into a dark room, and you're not going to see them again until November.
No goats, no Bartman, none of that.
Even leave your
And in the first game of the series, if they're playing the Nationals, Jake Arrieta needs to hit David Murphy in the face and get him out of that series. First pitch,
not even Bryce right Harper, David. Because David Murphy is the guy last year that
he's the guy who bent them over last year in the playoffs. So he needs to take one off the back of his knee or something.
And he's having a crazy season. I mean, he's about to win the batting title.
Yeah,
MVP. He might win the MVP.
Yeah. Or the Cubs send the goon squad out there. They could send Psycho Tommy La Stella out there to whack him with a bat or something and say he had a nervous breakdown, but we need David Murphy gone.
God, I saw this. I mean, obviously, it was probably a very poor taste. I mean, the DJ actually got fired, but the guy that played... I saw that story on my news feed about the guy that played the Prodigy song for Ardalys Chapman.
Yeah.
I thought...
Smack
that
my
hilarious.
Bitch up.
Right.
It really was hilarious. It was tasteless. He deserved to be fired, but it was hilarious. It really was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was masterful selection by the DJ.
That is, he dropped the mic. I mean, at that point, right?
Yeah. As he's being escorted out, he was like, "Yeah, bitches, that's what I did. Yeah, I did that."
He ripped off his shirt and he had a sock shirt on underneath.
Oh my God! Yeah, if you're gonna get fired, you got to go out in style. I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's the way.
Although I will say, because on my drive home from work, I have a bit of that I drive through the country, so I still get the score out of Chicago. And I will say, being a Cubs fan, now that the Cubs are on the score, there is nothing more satisfying than listening to all of these guys who I know are Sox fans just writhing in pain over how good the Cubs are.
Yeah,
and having actually talked good about the Cubs and not being able to sit there and talk about the White Sox. Because they will remind you every 2 or 3 minutes that they are White Sox fans. But that's not what pays the bills or gets people listening to their station anymore. And
absolutely. But until it happens, until you guys win a championship.
Oh.
You know, just.
We got to get in all our kicks to the Cubs now before they actually win a ring.
It might
be happening soon.
Until it happens, I mean, just know that the trophy, if you guys ever want to go look at the trophy, it's there's one on 35th and Shields.
Yep, 8.2 miles south, Major League Baseball.
Needs some motivation. It's sitting right over there in the case. And it's going to be one guaranteed rate parks. I mean, what kind of...
Oh, my God.
Andre sent me that text this last week. And
could you pick an uglier name? Could you possibly find an uglier name out there than that? Is there any way you could find a worse name?
People just kind of got past, all right, New Comiskey, you know, the cell. It's kind of got a nice ring to it.
Right, the U.S. Cellular Field didn't go over very well, but we got used to it, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what you do with guaranteed rates. I mean, what do you call it? I don't know what the nickname is for that. But, hey, at least it's not Sleep Train Arena or Smoothie King Arena. It could be
I think I'd take that over Guaranteed Rate Park. Oh my God. Yeah.
And I saw that, was it an 8-year agreement?
13 years.
Yeah.
So all you can hope for is that Guaranteed Rate, whoever the hell they are, goes out of business.
Right, they get acquired. They yeah, somebody buys them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just called it, Jason. They probably won't be around in 8 years, so we don't have to worry about it. There might be some scandal that comes up and then they're put out of business.
Well, I have already called it. I've already called it that the Hawk will refuse to say that name.
Yeah, he'll probably make up some cute little nickname for it and call it that.
Or he'll just talk about, you know, welcome to the South Side. Or I just can't imagine him saying, welcome back to Guaranteed Rate Ballpark.
Yeah, welcome to South Side.
Yeah, he doesn't do home games anymore, so he'll be scared. Oh,
okay, so basically he's going to just spit in his grave when it's...
because he lives so far from the ballpark.
He lives in like Fort Wayne or something crazy like that.
No, he lives almost in Wisconsin. He lives like Kankakee.
Oh, he lives. I thought he was in Indiana. He's a North.
Yeah, he lives in like Kankakee. So it's you know, he doesn't commute all the way to. He just does road games. Which was funny because he did the games at Wrigley Field.
Right, because he insisted on doing a Cubs Sox, because that's so important.
Because technically, that's a Hawk move. Technically those were away games, so you know he.
Right,
that's the contract. He signed the contract, right? Contract says all away games. Oh man.
Yeah, I think he kind of does what he wants at this point. No matter what anyone says, he'll show. If he wants to come back for the home games, he'll show up for those too. I'm sure if they made the playoffs, he'd probably kick the radio guys out of the booth and go do those games.
Right. Yeah.
And I was a little surprised to see that they did away with the opening Thursday night game. It looks like.
Did
I miss something?
No.
Is there a Thursday
playing on Thursday? Yeah, I think
are they playing next Thursday?
Yes.
Sure are.
I think I'm
okay.
Pretty sure.
Because I was looking and I couldn't find anything on that. Because we have to, you know, we have our schedule to worry about. We have to get our stuff in. So,
yeah, we'll have a Thursday night opener, Broncos and Panthers in the rematch.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. The football rematch.
Yeah.
So we get to see Trevor.
Simeon, is that his name?
Is it Marcus?
Right.
Marcus Simeon?
Marcus Simeon was just on the right side.
So is it his little brother? Are they related? I don't know.
Yeah. This is going to be a McClown situation with this guy.
Jake McClown? Josh McCown? What's his name?
Mark Sanchez. I mean, that is...
It's par for the course.
Yeah. Right, we were surprised they acquired him to begin with because we all know what he is. We know he's garbage, so why would you even take that
video quarterback? But I mean, even you know when he had a chance and you know his last starting job with the Eagles, I mean he was at least serviceable. I mean he wasn't terrible. I mean you would think that he would be able to beat out some of these no name guys. I mean, but
well, he started off on fire and very, very quickly went back to being Mark Sanchez. And you're always gonna at the end of the day just basically get mediocrity out of Mark Sanchez. Excuse me. So Gary Kubiak must not be willing to accept mediocrity.
Well yeah, you're coming back, you're the defending champs.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't take any chances. I mean, because you saw that you can win last year, which is basically replacement level quarterback play. And
Peyton Manning's corpse and Brock Osweiler won the Super Bowl last year.
Right, exactly. So you know you don't need very much from the quarterback position to be successful. So, let's just get the. We just need average. That's all we need.
It's just hard. It's exactly going to be really hard. It's so hard to expect that level of intensity, though, out of that defense, the way they played, especially those last two playoff, you know, the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship. You can't play at that level for a year. You just can't.
And they lost some guys this year, too.
So, yeah. Well, you always do when you win. They're going to need something out of the it is Trevor Siemian, so I was right.
All right.
First and last time I will get his name correct.
Yeah, I think that's all it is Kubiak saw that you win the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning basically being a game manager and just don't lose the game. Whatever you do, just don't lose it. And if you invite Mark Sanchez on your team, you know you got a guy that is going to do what he can to lose the game for you because he plays a very risky style of football. So that's why I was surprised to begin with that they even went that route. And obviously Siemian is the guy that's going to game manage and just do what the coaches ask him to do and just not lose the game. And that's exactly what Kubiak wants. We think he's not going to be able to do it again with the defense going balls out like that, but that's obviously the plan is just rely on the defense and just don't turn the ball over on offense. And that's what he's going to try to do again. And I guess I think I would try it that way again, as opposed to try to put Mark Sanchez back there and hope that he can come through playing the way that he plays. Cause I think he's been proven to not be able to get the job done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every stop for him, you know, has basically been, well, I guess when he started with the Jets, you know, it was all right. I mean, they got some pretty good results when he was on the Jets. But, you know, he's never really shown any kind of consistency or anything.
And we're big fans of his on this show. We're big Mark Sanchez fans on this show.
It's just unbelievable that he because that was probably, you know, his last chance to have an opportunity to start in the NFL.
Which is amazing. Yeah, he just got beat out by that guy. And Paxton Lynch will eventually be the number two on that team. Yeah. So, hey, maybe Mark Sanchez could be on the Vikings.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, gosh.
What a way to open
you heard
up
it here first.
With Mark Sanchez.
Ooh.
Understand that would be...
You're hearing us discuss it at the top of the show, Tim. You heard us talking about what can Minnesota possibly do? What options are there to go to? There's only so much you can bring in off the street because if they were any good, they wouldn't be on the street. So I think they're kind of screwed. Like Jason said, is you know, what are you going to do? You got to go with what you got right now.
Right. Adrian Peterson's back is getting kind of weak. He can't
carrying a whole team for years.
Yeah, you can't do it anymore. They're going to need some kind of competent quarterback play. And that's just kind of, well, I can't feel too bad for him, but it's unfortunate.
I'm sure nobody, I mean, I'm in Wisconsin. Nobody up here is crying that the biggest division rival and the team that won the division last year just lost their quarterback. That guy.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we were joking a little bit because our guests that were on last week's show, one of them was a Vikings fan, and she was very adamant about her sort of disdain of Teddy Bridgewater. And I wish we had the angle right now, fresh, you know, the fresh take on someone who was bagging on the guy so bad and now is probably sitting there going, oh, Teddy, I want you back.
I miss you already. Oh.
Because this could have been a year,
you, Teddy.
That he really could have put it all together and really had an amazing season.
Right.
You know, this really could have been, you know, he could have put it all together and the Vikings could have, you know, really done well, but...
And I'm looking at their depth chart. Their third string quarterback is Joel Stavi, who I had to watch here in Wisconsin. Joel Stavi, I actually know this guy because he's from Wisconsin here. He was the Wisconsin Badgers quarterback. He's horrible.
Wow.
He is
That name, he sounds like he should be running a deli or something.
Joel Stein, that's right. give him a few years, he will be.
Cut that meat! Cut that meat!
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the Packers, oh God, the other Wisconsin quarterback that the Packers kept trotting out there when Rodgers was hurt, Scott Tolzien.
Wow.
And Joel Stavi's worse. Joel Stavi is worse than Scott Tolzien. Oh, no. If you need reference of how bad the Vikings have it right now. So if Sean Hill gets hurt.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
it's going to basically be Adrian Peterson running the Wildcat all year.
they might have to do that now because Sean Hill is bad.
Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be like when Chris Wenke had to start all those years ago. We always joke about that game when they won that game where he threw seven passes because they rolled out the Wildcat. Yeah, they rolled out the Wildcat in that game, and they won the game because they were playing Atlanta, and Atlanta was like, what are we doing? What are they doing?
Right.
Yeah, the Wildcat lasted about a half a season.
Yeah, the Wildcat lasted, that made it about a year. The read option had lasted to be very fruitful for about a year before all these defenses reacted to it and just started annihilating these read option quarterbacks.
Right, yeah, I know, because it started with, RG3. I mean, he was, he lit the league up.
Yeah, we had RG3, and Kaepernick, him up. And Russell Wilson. We had those three that first year. All three of them went absolutely insane, and Kaepernick with the Super Bowl run, and RG3 with the playoff run, and then that was also the strike year or the lockout year. So my theory on that was always that the teams didn't have a chance to really prepare for this. So those guys had that very fruitful year, and then when there was a full preseason and a full off season, and everybody really started digging through all the film on these guys, they figured these guys out really fast. And then you had to see that the only guy out of those three who has sustained success was Russell Wilson, because he's really the only one of the three who is a quarterback. And
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's proven that he's got true quarterback skills. And, also he's got that defense too.
That helps.
Yeah.
We have the other two guys who were basically just more like gadget, razzle dazzle. Just like, we're going to do this read option, but we have no intention of doing anything other than running with the ball.
Right. Exactly. So you can't.
And, yeah.
That doesn't keep the defenses honest. And they just.
No. And it's a way to get yourself killed.
Exactly. They just tee off on the quarterback.
Yeah, because Cam Newton still does a little bit of it, but like the reason they don't do more of it is because he hasn't learned that yet. He hasn't learned when the play is not there, so let me get rid of this thing. He thinks he can take every ball and run up the field untouched for a touchdown, or even if they touch him, he can just run through them. And he gets lit up sometimes still as well. So he hasn't learned all the intricacies.
Cam
is huge.
He is. Right. He's basically like Roethlisberger, but fast.
Exactly.
Yes. He's like
he's
possible to bring down. But Cam Newton's got all the quarterback traits. He's got the rocket arm. He's got some awareness of what's actually going on. Plus, he also, sort of predated those guys a little bit with the whole read option. So he was already learning a little more. And, I don't even lump him in with those guys.
Yeah,
runs a little bit different. Yeah.
But when he runs, he's good at it.
He's got this show on Nickelodeon where he takes a kid and the kid's got a dream and, he works with the kid or something like that. So there was one where he was training and this was kind of in the news where they had pictures of him training with the men's Olympic water polo team. It was for the Nickelodeon show. Yeah, but it was for the show on Nickelodeon. And, my son and I watched it. I mean, if Cam Newton played water polo, I mean,
it would be a different sport. Like
50 goals a game.
Yeah. You would have to change the rules.
They were showing him in the pool practicing, and I mean, his arm is just bananas, and you know, nobody could touch him. I mean, it was. I mean, because those guys are huge anyway. But I mean, he dwarfed those guys, and I mean, it was just crazy to watch him in the pool with that ball in his hand. I mean, it was. it was amazing to see. I mean, because he's an amazing athlete.
He could probably be pro in a lot of sports.
Yeah. I mean, he's just naturally an amazing gifted. Athlete.
Yeah.
A little reminiscent of LeBron James, that you imagine that body and that speed doing other sports, and it's like, oh, they would have to shut the sport down.
Exactly. Because if he was a tight end or something like that, or a defensive end, rushing the quarterback.
He'd be an all pro.
Yeah. I mean, like Julius Peppers, you know, I mean.
Right. Yeah, I remember him playing ball at North Carolina. It was scary.
Yeah. I know. I can't imagine, you know. Those guys just crazy. Crazy athletes. So Frank Thomas was a tight end at Auburn.
Sure.
I don't think he played much, but.
The singles hitter.
That's right. The Hall of Fame singles hitter. Yeah, he had other skills that he was developing.
That was like the best quote of his ever. When he was, I'm a singles hitter. This guy's like huge.
6'5", 70.
He's enormous.
And
I'm a singles hitter.
I only hit 500 home runs, but I'm a singles hitter.
That's right. we brought up the Bears a little bit earlier, so what do you think? What do they look like? Because it's it's only preseason, but it's looking pretty ugly there.
It was. I watched the I watched the game against the Chiefs on Sunday. Oh my God, that was the offense looked awful. But I don't know. I think we'll get a much better sense of what the Bears are going to be. Well, they don't play a lot of the starters in the last preseason game. But the Bears have had a tough preseason schedule. I mean, they've had the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Chiefs. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. But I think the first game of the season against the Texans, that should be a good I know they start.
Yeah, the Texans and Brock Osweiler again. Oh.
Yeah. but, I mean, that should be a good benchmark for the team. I mean, to really kind of get an idea of what they're going to be, if they're going to be any good or not. Because Houston's not bad. I mean,
it's never a good sign, though.
But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could really go either way. I mean, I don't really – because on paper, they should be improved. You know, they made some pretty good pickups on defense. You know, who knows what kind of running game they're going to have. And then you got the – you know, you could have – it could be Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. You know, with Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey, it could be it could be a big year with the receivers. But you just have to see it. I mean, it's a lot of question marks. But you know, 6 or 7 wins seems doable, I think, for this team. And if Minnesota is kind of falling back, maybe they can compete for the wild card, but. You know, we'll see. You could be pleasantly surprised, or you know, it could be awful.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say,
I'm scared to death.
It's never a good sign. Nope. You're right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just quick here. I was just going to say, it's never a good sign though when your assessment of your team. First of all, starts off with a big sigh, like, oh, no, I got to talk about the Bears. But also, you actually pointed out, Tim, I got to call you out on this one. You pointed out the Bears' preseason strength of schedule.
That's a first.
It looks bad. I mean, the game against the Patriots.
That's not a good sign.
No, it's not. It really isn't.
We really had a rough preseason schedule, guys. Come on.
You should
play my third stringers. We had to play those Patriots third stringers.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you Tim Fox in a minute. You sound like the coach.
Yeah, The offense looked awful against the Chiefs. They looked pretty bad. But because I think Alex Smith was like 20 for 30 or something crazy like
that. Yeah, on the other side of the ball, it didn't look much better.
Yeah.
But that was 20 for 30 for 85 yards, because that's just how Alex
Smith throws. That's what Alex Smith does.
Yeah, that's his game.
That's his style.
What I'm afraid of with the Bears is that offense looks so bad, and I'm afraid it's yet another new offense is this guy Dowell Loggins from the Titans, and I'm familiar with the Titans offense over the last several years, and it's not anything impressive. And if he doesn't get it together, get on the same page with Jay Cutler and these receivers, and Alshon Jeffrey is, you know, kind of looks like he almost doesn't want to be there. I think he's got a foot out the door already. I don't think he likes being in Chicago.
Yeah.
And Kevin White, we don't know what the hell he is. So we definitely have to wait on that. But if that doesn't all come together and congeal like really soon, the season might be over in the first quarter of the year.
Right. Because I think – I'm trying to think of – I know – because I always look for the national games. Because I think after that they played Philadelphia and – because I know like there's week 2 and 3, like a Sunday night and a Monday night game. I should pull up the schedule, but it could get away from them in a hurry with the
yeah,
schedule.
It's early on. It's pretty ugly.
But you know, I know I'll be watching, you know, so we'll see. Hopefully, because I'm hoping somebody gets me the, because I kind of hinted around at it, the online package, you know, to watch the games. Because we can't get a dish.
Oh.
We can't get a dish in our house. We don't have enough southern exposure.
I see.
So we can't get DirecTV. Which sucks. I mean, I just can't believe. I mean, obviously, that's worth a lot of money to DirecTV, but you know, the NFL needs to really think about that, opening up the Sunday ticket to somebody else.
I know. I'm with you. I don't have DirecTV either, and I desperately missed the package. Not that I could watch them anyway, because I work Sundays. But if I didn't, I would be all over that football package, no doubt.
Yeah, because I really get a chance to watch too many games anyway.
Right.
Because my kids are 5 and 2. And my daughter, she's getting to that point now where, you know, she doesn't take naps at home. Because when she was taking a nap, you know, she'd be taking a nap at like around 1 o'clock. So that was always good, where you would get a couple hour break in the middle of the day on Sunday where you could watch, you know, first half or something like that. But now she's not really taking naps. So my kids dominate the television. I watch, oh my goodness, SpongeBob Annoy Parents. My son watches that. That show was on all day, every day. And my son has got to watch almost every episode. So my son,
yeah, Jason knows all about that.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, mine are 4 and a half and 2, so I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, my daughter's
the older, and she still takes naps. So I still, and it's 1 o'clock. This is supposed to be like the parent thing. At 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock is nap time, you know. And
yeah, exactly. So you can sneak some football in while your kids take a nap.
I'm off work tomorrow. I'm home from work tomorrow. I'm home with the kids, and that 2 hour period, that's my sort of like recoup period from the morning of being, you know, daddy jungle gym and having to do, you know.
I know that.
That's what happens when you start having kids when you're 36 instead of 26.
No,
your bones are old. You just got old bones, you know. And
yeah, because every time you kneel down or get on the ground, you know, a kid thinks that good things as an invitation to climb on your back.
Yep. As soon as I sit on the stairs. Horse. Yep. If I get down on the floor for anything, it was bad enough when I had one doing it, but now my son's old enough that he does it too. He'll just grab my hand and pull me down onto the floor, and then all of a sudden, like, okay, what does he want me to do? You know, oh, today it was, you know, he had to climb up the stairs so I could throw the ball up to him. That's not so bad. But then I'll turn around and sit on the stairs, and my daughter will come running and leap on my shoulders and, you know, want me to walk around the house with her on my it is never ending.
Never thought you'd turn into a human car.
Oh my God! Oh,
I've been a car, a train, a plane. I've been everything.
Yeah, you definitely become very versatile as a dad of toddlers. That is the truth.
Well, the last thing I had for you, Tim, is really wanted to address the Colin Kaepernick thing with us being black guys and, you know, this very major stand that he decided to take, very controversial. I mean, everyone's got a take on it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, more power to him. I mean, because it definitely takes, you know, obviously it takes a lot of guts, because you just draw, you know, a lot of attention to yourself and people are going to be rooting for you to fail basically. And that's just a lot of pressure for him. But, you know, obviously, I mean, there's a real history of black athletes, you know, doing very similar things. So, you know, going back to, you know, Muhammad Ali, you know, Jackie Robinson, I keep forgetting the names of the, you know, the track athletes in the 68 Olympics, you know, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. I mean, you go down the line, you know, even, you know, the guys, you know, wearing the T-shirts, the, you know, Stop, I Can't Breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, so athlete activists, I mean, it's not really anything new. But the fact that it's the national anthem, I mean, I think that that's what really makes it a little bit, you know, what, you know, people get a little more up in arms when you start talking about the national anthem. But, you know, as a black person, just in general, you know, I've known a lot of black people who are kind of indifferent to the national anthem, you know, for various reasons, you know, so.
Count me as one of them.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I'm as patriotic as the next guy, but, like I went to a black college and, you know, you go to a game, it wasn't unusual, you know, to see, say, you know, a few people not standing. And, you know, so it's something that happens. And I think you'll see it happen more often now because, you know, because of this, you know, I think that, you know, it's become a bit of a thing. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely support it. And I just saw a real, it was a funny meme on my news feed. It's like, Colin Kaepernick says America is not great and they want him to leave the country. Donald Trump says America is not great and he could be the next president. I thought that was.
Yeah. Interesting how that works.
Right. Exactly. It all depends on your perspective and, you know, kind of where you're sitting. Because, I mean, that's just part of, that's just part of our society. You know, it's part of our politics, you know, it's part of everything where people kind of criticize the status quo and, you know, people want society to be better. And, you know, people do it in different ways. You know, and I think ultimately, you know, his intentions are good and he's trying to draw attention to, you know, things that need attention drawn to him, you know, police brutality, injustice. You know, things that everybody should be for, things that the country's supposed to stand for. And, you know, I'm with him on this protest.
Yeah, one of the more intelligent things I've read about it over the last couple of days is how silently and sort of peacefully that he's making his protest. People seem to be reacting as if he took the flag, wiped his ass with it, spit into it, right, and exactly. You know, said death to exactly. America or something exactly. like that. He didn't right. do any of those things. All he's doing is this is a very silent, peaceful protest, and he could make this a lot worse. He really could do things that really could upset a lot of people, but he's choosing a way that's honestly shouldn't be that upsetting because, and this isn't anything new. I've said this on the show several times. I don't know why the fuck we're playing the national anthem before a sporting event to begin with. What does that have to do with playing a game?
Right. Yeah.
I've never.
I'm
with you. I don't really have much of a problem.
I don't know how that tradition started because I agree. I mean, it should. Yeah, and there's a funny thing, you know, because around here when they do the national anthem, and I guess not so much now that we have the Nationals, because when they say, you know, O's, you know, you say, oh, you know, for the Orioles. And my wife actually thought they do that everywhere. We were at a White Sox game or someplace else, and, you know, someplace not in the DMV. And she was like, oh, okay. She just realized, you know, it just kind of dawned on her that that wasn't, that's kind of a local thing, not a national thing.
Well, she could have been at a Blackhawks game and heard them doing all sorts of crazy stuff during the national anthem, and it would have fit right in there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but this dude is just drawing the wrath of God on him. I mean, everybody is. Everybody's got an opinion about Colin Kaepernick. I mean, it's because I listen to Mike and Mike, or I watch it on TV when I'm getting ready in the morning, and you know, some of the tweets and stuff that they've been reading, and you know, it's just, you know, it's just like this guy's the devil, and you know, it's.
And I bet those are the tame ones that they put on the air because they can't really put up some of the ones. I'm sure they really are getting some stuff sent to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then you got a guy, I didn't read the story, but Ronnie Harrison is saying, you know, because he's mixed race and he's not black stuff. I mean,
it appears that he, Rodney Harrison, from what I just read, like maybe an hour or two ago, it appears he's going to take the I'm very ignorant tack. He apologized for what he said, and he claimed that he didn't know that Colin Kaepernick was part black. And to which I respond, dude, really? You think we're going to buy that? Really?
Exactly. I mean,
I don't think there's any chance that he didn't know that the guy was at least part. But you got to be any football fan would have to be living under a rock to not know at least some of the Colin Kaepernick story and certainly know that he's of mixed race. But to be in the NFL media to not know.
You cover the league for a living.
Right.
You know a little something about some of these players.
Know what you're talking about before you open your mouth.
A special player, like, you know, somebody that is, you know, was the toast of the league for a little while. I mean, you should.
Yeah, it's not like he's, who's that Vikings backup third string quarterback again, Jason? What was his name?
Joel Stott. And if he was, not funny, but, you know, there was a rookie from the Eagles that announced that he's going to also sit.
Right.
I saw the story, and I have no idea what his name is. Yep.
And then his agent gets a hold of him, and like 20 minutes later, the guy's like, no, I'm going to stand.
Yeah.
So that guy's not. Sometimes it is also who you are to be allowed to do this. So Kaepernick, he's cashing in some of his reputation and some of his cred for something that he believes in, and he's allowed to do that. And it's going to be polarizing. It shouldn't matter if he's black, white, Asian, Mexican, whatever. You know, he should be allowed to do that. But you also face, you know, the scrutiny that comes with doing something like that. People who take a stand or people who stand up for what they believe in also have to be aware of the other side of that. Because if he stands up for something he believes in and nobody gives a shit, well, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, look, that guy's sitting during the national anthem. Yeah, whatever. there'd be no story, you know. So the point the point of doing it is to create the story. Even though, yeah, you're always doing it quietly and it's a silent protest, it's not as and Andre, you and I both know that Colin Kaepernick is very, very capable of cynical PR. As hashtag we pointed out coming. On this show, hashtag storms coming. This is the same guy who tweeted a picture of the flooding in Houston a couple of years ago and co-opted the picture of a car flooded where people are dying to try to create his personal brand, who's now silently protesting. So this guy's smarter than we are giving him credit for, I think, right now. He knows what he's doing. He's using his platform to create conversation or to show protest or to show unity. It's not just, I'm just doing this quietly. Please leave me alone.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, and he's definitely accomplished all of that because it is, right.
And he's got to deal with
the season.
What goes with it.
Right. Exactly. Because
I assume his agent and his people are telling him to, reconsider as well. And he's just, instead of being the Eagles guy and saying, I changed my mind. I think I am going to, he's actually saying, no, he's doubling down.
Right.
And I definitely respect that. Because I tell you this.
And then he finds himself traded in a couple of weeks. Convenient.
Or cut. He might be cut. He may never play in the NFL again because he was going downhill before this. But he's still taking his stand.
Right. Yeah, that'd be like if Ray Rice decided to do the same thing.
I'm not doing any more NFL games because I'm pro set. But yeah, you don't have to worry about it, Ray, because no one wants your ass anyway.
Not that we should be laughing about this.
I mean, who was
Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert beat him out. Well, Kaepernick was also hurt. And if you watch, I watched him play in that preseason game against the Packers the other night. He looks like half the size of what he used to be. I mean, he goes to kiss his biceps now and he misses.
Oh, that's not good.
Because there's his arms are like twigs because he's still recovering. I think he's still regaining strength from coming back from all the injuries and stuff, and he just doesn't look right. So if he's choosing to do this, and who knows? I mean, I don't want to be cynical, but he could be just like, yeah, I want out of San Francisco, so I'm going to just pull something. You never know what these guys are doing.
Right, yeah. You're absolutely right, because they definitely, especially this generation's athlete, really understands, how to work the media, how to work the fans, to create sentiment and to create, really knows how to push the buttons to kind of make things happen, because the access to cameras, the access to, you have all these news channels and all of these blogs and all these TV shows, 24-hour radio and all of this stuff that's got to fill up this airtime. They need something to talk about, and they're more than happy to.
That's right.
Write your story.
And there's an element to this as well with that organization too. He gets away with it as well, or is allowed to do it or have this happen, because the 49ers have become a clown college as an organization.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of leadership there. That's true.
No. So he'd be doing that for Bill Belichick or some of these other guys, I just don't know if that's going to fly,
Yeah,
especially if you play for a team called the Patriots.
Jim Harbaugh going out of town. The whole the Mike Singletary coach. That had to be one. That was as much as I love Mike Singletary.
The whole Jim Tom Sula episode, and now they've got Chip.
Oh my God!
It's a clown college.
Mike Singletary. I've got one Bears jersey in my closet, and it's a Mike Singletary jersey. I grew up idolizing.
Oh yeah, you were. I remember. Yeah. That was your guy.
I grew up idolizing that guy, but he was an awful football coach. Very entertaining, entertaining in the press conference.
Yeah, he had quotes.
Oh my God, he had them.
You want the winners?
Can't win with them. That was
can't do it.
Can't coach him. Can't do it.
Terrible on the sideline.
He was a good assistant coach.
A lot of his fans don't want to admit that, but
he was a good assistant coach, though. And he
sure
he wasn't a bad coordinator.
Coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all he should be. You know, he should teach people how to play linebacker. I mean, he shouldn't be. he shouldn't be a head coach.
There's a lot of guys on that Bears 85 Bears team that shouldn't be head coaches.
Oh yeah, I mean they might be great, you know,
including their head coach.
Can't imagine. Dan Hampton or Steve McMichael is your head coach, or you know any of those guys. Lord.
Oh, he just put Mongo in the Hall of Infamy.
Right.
That's right. He's as infamous as they get.
He'd have a keg in the coach's office.
Keg for him. Yeah.
That's right. Those halftime speeches would be something.
All right, Tim. It's been fun as always. We're going to let you go. We know what's going on midnight out there where you are.
Oh man, my family, we moved in the summer, and I was going through some old stuff, and I found a picture of you, Jay, from one of those Christmas concerts at the Union Hall. It's deep in a trunk in the closet, so I won't pull it out. But
don't put that on Facebook or nothing.
I will spare you.
Thank you. Yeah,
I love to see that.
I just putting those memories in my head of that stupid ass Christmas con every year, doing White Christmas in sign language. Oh
my god! You know, but hey, every time I hear Jingle Bell Rock, you know you do that.
No, you start doing the fingers, snapping your fingers.
Yep. Gotta do it.
Every time. Gotta do it.
Shout out to Mitch Stuber wherever you are.
Oh my god! I just started doing it. Oh my god!
I did too.
You just start rocking forward and snapping your fingers as you're rocking forward at the same time.
It was the early indoctrination. It was almost Nazi-like.
Oh my god! Yeah.
And it was the same routine every year, so at least we didn't have to relearn it.
Right. Exactly.
That's right.
It was like, oh, here we go again. That's right.
Damn, fun as always. Great memories, great stuff.
Absolutely. I'll be back whenever you guys want me.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot. Hey, and happy 40th birthday to you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
That's right. Happy 40th.
All right, Tim. He's a man.
That's right. He's a man. He's 40. Oh, man. Yeah, we were indoctrinated. You got to do the arms and you can't even describe that to people who don't know what we're talking about. It's just
because I'm doing the move right now, and I'm like, uncoordinated.
I don't know how you describe that to somebody though. You snap your fingers while keeping your hands up, your elbows crooked,
you've got your elbows kind of kicked into your side and you're leaning forward and your elbows don't move, but your arms go down and then your fingers snap.
Your forearms swing back and forth and your whole upper body kind of rocks like a rocking chair and you're snapping your fingers on the beat while singing Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell, Jingle Bell. Right. Yeah. Oh, those memories.
I just did the move in my chair. Yeah. I'm sitting here in my chair doing the move. Like, oh my god, he brings up the move, and I'm like, oh man, it was just
we both started. I was with you. We both started doing it.
That was the last time we would have done that. Was third grade,
something like that.
I think it was first, second, and third grade. All had to do the Christmas show. So that would have been 85 would have been the last time we did that.
What about any of the other music assemblies? Were we still doing those past third grade, or did they stop at the? Because we had other things that we had to train for. Distinctly remember this sort of old school music show. Where they play Let the Good Times Roll.
Yeah,
and we all had to walk out to that.
A different one. I remember the one where they had like the Charleston.
I think that was the same one. I think we came out. Oh, we all came out to the stage to Let the Good Times Roll, and then we started singing all these other very, very, very old songs.
Yeah, very old songs.
Very. Yeah.
Public domain songs.
And we had to get, like, costumes, or we had to go actually go get these, yeah, these old clothes from different stores. We had to, yeah, actually show up in costumes.
But we weren't up to that Whitney Young level of production yet, where we actually had people breaking copyright laws.
No, that we did not have.
In order to get us into the show.
We did not have David Canepa having us do Les Miserables illegally. We didn't have that at Skinner. That would be Whitney Young.
That's Chicago was unbelievable. Right there. That's Chicago right there in a nutshell.
That's the reason I was so unbelievable is because he went all the way forward with it. So we had to train and practice and rehearse for, good Lord, a month and a half or 2 months, yeah, to get ready for this production that got shut down after the first night because it was illegal.
And I am going to go on record and say that that show was, I wasn't there, but it had to be amazing.
It was. And I was there. I was in the front row because my girlfriend had a part. And I just sat there. I just ran right into the front row after rehearsals, and it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. It was breathtaking. It really was. I'm a fan of Les Miserables today from watching that production. I never watched Les Mis before that, but
for a high school, I read the book. We had to read the book. So
yeah,
for a high school production, from everything I heard, it was like almost like professional quality.
Yeah.
For everything that went into that. And they got shut down after the first night.
To get shut down after one night because it wasn't the copyright was not purchased. Because David Canepa just decided that it was above him to purchase the copyright. So we're just gonna do the show anyway.
It was better to have your students listening to the soundtrack and copying the music.
Right.
And basically just amazing, all the effort, even all the cheating effort that went into putting that on. There's a movie in that somewhere, isn't there?
There probably is. They didn't know they were cheating. They didn't. There were rumors at the time, but we didn't know.
Oh, yeah. No, because not every boy. You were on the stage crew, right? Weren't you a stagehand?
I did a little stage work, not a whole lot. Yeah. And I did audition and didn't get any parts because I can't sing. But I was pretty much there the whole production, the whole time. And like I said, my girlfriend at the time did have a small part in it. So I saw all the effort that went into it. It was incredible. All the late practicing, all the rehearsing, all the stage work that went into it. Like, it was so much stage work that I won't name names, but some people on the stage were upset when some people on the crew or I'm sorry, some people in the cast wanted to take some of the set home with them after that one incredible night that they did. And some people on the crew were like, no, we busted our ass on this stuff. No, you ain't taking that home. Give that back. There was actually some fights over that because it was, that's how well it was done. And that's how much work and effort and sweat went into it. Only to get shut down after the first night. There is a book in that or a movie or something.
You go through all of that work and you put on one amazing show and you get shut down.
And the next day the attorneys say, okay, that was cute. Don't you ever do that again. Incredible.
Oh, man.
All right, so we apparently have another 21 minutes of overtime if we want to take it or VIP time. So if there's any subjects you wanted to get to, as you know, I always have a boatload of stuff that I can.
Oh yeah. We could always go to the well. I was tabbing through here as I was looking at things and wouldn't you know it? The Denver Broncos are officially shopping Mark Sanchez.
Good luck with that.
So,
I mean, if the Vikings don't take him, I don't know who the hell will.
Well, one of the
team right now.
Well, the first article said the Cowboys might be interested.
I guess they are desperate too.
Because Tony Romo is.
But they shouldn't be desperate.
They're saying he's going to miss half the season. They have the new Jesus. They have Dak Prescott, who is just lighting it up in the preseason, and what for all that's worth.
as you said, the Detroit Lions went 4-0 in a preseason several years ago, and how'd that work out?
They lost every game. Or even Tim tries to defend how bad the Bears look by their preseason schedule.
They had a really tough preseason
set up. They did. Well, if that was a regular season schedule of Patriots, Broncos, and Chiefs, yeah, that's pretty tough. Oh, and I did look it up. Alex Smith, he was dead on. Alex Smith was 20 of 30 for 181 yards.
Yeah.
I don't have to do a good
amount of yards for him.
That's like a 6.0 yard per attempt. Tell me, Mr. Statman, that's not good.
No. You will not go very far averaging 6 yards a pass attempt.
Even if you complete 20 out of 30, you don't want 6 yards per pass attempt.
Tim was bringing up the Bears' regular season schedule and how tough that starts as well. So I was trying to do that on the phone. At Texans, of course, he said they get the NFC East this year, so that's a good thing because, as we know, they can't play any defense. So the next two games are Eagles and Cowboys. From an offensive standpoint, from a standpoint of Cutler trying to get it together with his offense, after J.J. Watt dribbles his head off the turf a few times, if he can get up from that and then make it to play the Eagles and the Cowboys, and then the Lions after that, who also don't exactly stop a lot of passes, that should be a couple of good setups for Cutler and his guys, and the Colts after that, and the Jaguars after that. So, yeah, early in the season, they actually do get some relief after the Houston game.
There are winnable games.
About the Packers until October.
There are winnable games in those first stretch of games for the Bears. Honestly, I'm not saying I'm picking anything here, but at the Texans, that's more of a I'm more interested to see what the Texans are going to look like than the Bears with the Brock Osweiler experiment.
I think I'm going to go out and say I love the under in that game right now. That's two offenses that don't know what the hell they're doing yet. So,
and then Bears, for whatever Houston, reason,
take the under.
For whatever reason, the Bears get a Monday night game at home against the Eagles the week after that. And then they get a Sunday night game at Dallas, but they will be in prime time on the road as an underdog, I'm assuming. So the Bears will win that game.
But it's not West Coast, though.
It does, it
fulfills most of your Bear Whisperer corollary, but not
we're
all.
We're getting close. We're getting pretty close on that one. So,
yeah.
And then they get two more back-to-back primetime games for some reason in the middle of the season. I do not understand why we're getting this Bears squad four times in primetime this year. But thankfully, by Halloween, they're all done.
Yes. And that October 20th up at Green Bay, I remember the last time the Bears went to Green Bay on a Thursday night, and I want to say they got a fitty hung on them.
Oh, there was one time, though, they won. They won one of those crazy ones not that long ago in prime time. Low scoring.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember
it was
the win.
Really weird game. Yep.
I probably
really weird,
it was,
very low
it didn't
scoring.
Make any sense. Right.
Right. It was just a very odd game.
But a couple of years ago, it was Trestman's last gas, Mark Trestman, and they had a bye week, and Green Bay had a bye week, and so they had a Thursday night game set up that I thought was just going to be a barn burner because they were going to have extra rest. Both teams were going to come off extra rest, and it was going to be Bears-Packers, and they were just going to get into it, and it's going to be Rodgers and Cutler back and forth, and they're just going to – and the Bears lost like 50-20 or something like that. And it was
– and to be honest with you, that Bears schedule after their bye is pretty tame. I mean – they end it with rough games, but they go through a 5-game stretch, Bucks, Giants, Titans, 49ers, and Lions. That's not an 0-5 stretch there. I mean, if you are a decent team, you will win 3 out of those 5, at least. You know. So we'll see.
If Alshon Jeffrey feels like playing and if Kevin White is any good, then the offense should come together by that point, and they should actually put some good points together, I would think.
I don't think it's all gloom and doom for the Bears, but I agree with Tim's assessment of seven wins. That's, you know, of course, if you listen to the if you listen to the score, as I was doing one day driving home, Hub Arkish has them at 10-6, which I think Hub Arkish has had the Bears at 10-6 for the last 30 years.
Oh, dear.
That is the cop-out pick if you are a homer on the radio or a homer in the newspaper, by the way. The cop-out pick is 10-6.
That's too bad. I respect Hub Arkish too, but that's just silly.
Oh, yeah, there's 10 wins in this Bears team. Now, with the Vikings losing Teddy Bridgewater, maybe the Bears and the Lions both bump up one, you know?
Right. They might gain a win.
I could see the Bears winning 7.
I can see them winning 7 too. I don't know if I would necessarily pick that, but yeah, I can see them winning 7.
Still put them 4 games out of first.
Yeah, as we said on the last show, it's going to be them in Detroit as fourth and third place in the division. It just depends on which order it goes. But yeah, they might win 7. Detroit might win 7 too. I don't know if they're going to either, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Well, and you know, that could be 7-9 could be second place this year. We really don't know the damage that's been done to the Vikings at this point. We would assume it's not a fatal blow, but that's not a Super Bowl run. There's a lot of people who, you know, preseason prognosticators who may have had a Super Bowl run in the Vikings who just got the whiteout out.
Yeah, I'll break out a very early look at the stats. The Vikings found a way to put together 7.2 yards per pass attempt last year, but because they relied so much on Adrian Peterson and because Teddy Bridgewater was more of a game manager, which is what I was trying to tell Kaz, but she wasn't trying to hear it, they only ranked 31st in the league in passing offense. So how far the Vikings fall, I guess, depends on what you thought Teddy Bridgewater was going into the season. If you thought he was about to take a step into all-pro territory, then yes, it's a devastating loss. But again, we're talking about the 31st ranked pass offense in football last year. I guess I'm saying I don't think it's that huge of a loss. It's a huge loss. I'm not trying to say that it's nothing, but I don't think it's that. If they find somebody, whether it's Sean Hill or somebody else, if they find somebody to game manage in place of the game manager, Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think they're going to lose that much. I really don't.
Just don't throw picks, right? Just don't turn it over. That sort of thing. Play good defense and let Adrian Peterson bust some big runs and keep the score close and win it in the fourth quarter with a field goal, unless it's the playoffs.
Oh, too soon?
Yeah. Too soon. Yeah. I'm just saying.
And that's what it looked like Mike Zimmer was doing all last year anyway. And it worked. They won the fucking division. So, I mean, come on.
They did. I just don't see the Packers pulling up lame again the way they did last year.
The only reason I don't know about that is because you and I both watched how bad Aaron Rodgers was at times last year. And I don't know about you. I still can't explain it. There were some games last year he looked absolutely crap. And I don't know why. And who's to say that doesn't show up again? I don't know.
No, it's so hard. It was excuse me. It was crap by Rodgers' standards. But it was still pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't Blaine Gabbert, yes, but
it was still
pretty ugly at that point.
It was way down, you know, 60.7 completion percentage, 3,821 yards, 31 touchdowns and 8 picks. Yards per attempt were the worst of his career, though, at 6.7.
Yeah, and that's not just a few tenths of a yard off.
For what he had to do without his deep threat, a lot of under. There was not any deep threat to that offense. There was no deep game other than Hail Marys. That was their deep threat. To still go 31-8 though, that's pretty good.
It is. I was going to bring up that if you just want to say, well, he didn't have Jordy Nelson and put all of his struggles on that, I guess you could, but I just don't know. I'm not saying he definitely was terrible and will definitely be terrible again this year. I'm just saying why he was so bad. I really can't put, I never did put my finger on it. And he seemed to rally and put it together right at the end of the season, just in time to win that playoff game in Washington.
Right.
But that was just,
yeah, when you're getting production, when you're getting production out of Jared Abradaris and Jeff Janis, and the guys that he, you know, that, but again, that's what the good quarterbacks do. They will get production out of guys who on every other team are just guys. So we'll see. You know, I don't see them. I don't see them being bad this year. And now with the Vikings, sort of, you know, I don't know if the Vikings have a repeat run in them. I just don't know. I still haven't assessed this yet because that's a big story. It just happened. But my gut reaction, you know, my gut this is sort of the opposite of my gut reaction to when Kyle Schwarber got hurt. You know, everybody else was like, the Cubs season's over. I'm like, they'll be fine. You know, I'm sort of the opposite of that with the Vikings losing Teddy Bridgewater, because I actually had a little more faith in Teddy than I think Viking fans or Cass or any of those folks did. I think he was more important to them than people were willing to let on.
Yeah, it was incredible. And just looking at the Vikings, like I said, this year, just if you thought Teddy Bridgewater was going to just blossom into this all-world quarterback and they were going to let his arm go now and it was going to be a different guy altogether, then, yeah, you're taking this as a humongous loss. But I guess I just didn't see him that way. I understand that, you know, how good he was at Louisville. I understand he had more to offer seemingly at quarterback than what he had been offering. But I really think they're trying to keep him in pocket, literally and figuratively. I think they really want him to not make the mistakes that guys his age can make sometimes. And maybe it stunts his growth a little bit, but you got to look at a bigger picture. I think they look at their defense and the way their team is structured, and they just wanted him to not lose the game. They wanted him to take care of everything and hand off to this all-pro Hall of Fame running back and just don't lose it for us. Don't be that guy that tries to do too much and loses the game for it. So as long as they find someone else to replace him that's also has that mentality and is also able to sort of take care of the football and not lose it for them, then I'm not going to say they won't miss a beat, but I don't think they're going to be nearly as bad off as other people think they will.
As long as it's not Mark Sanchez, right?
He can't take care of the football. That's why I don't know why anyone signs him. What do you think he's going to do? You know what he's going to do. We know who Total Fraud is at this point. I don't understand it.
I hope Tim realized I was being totally sarcastic about us being big fans of Mark Sanchez.
He's got almost as little right to be in the NFL now as Tebow. If you don't think Tebow can take care of the football and help your team, I don't know why you would sign Sanchez. Hell, Sanchez isn't even as athletic as Tebow. So, I mean, what are you really gaining by signing the guy? You know what he's capable of, and it's butt fumbles and bad picks at the worst possible times. And it's just, I don't get it. I don't know. I'm not an NFL personnel guy, so what the hell do I know?
Yeah, we're always amazed by these guys who keep getting jobs.
Want to get to a couple of things that are short, but I definitely wanted to get to them. I have to give props to Jerry, our wrestling expert. And I'm sure you haven't been keeping up with wrestling at all, because why would you?
Are you talking about the brand split?
I am. Wow.
Oh, okay, yeah. Go continue.
I'm shocked. I didn't know you were keeping up even that much. But yes, Jerry.
Minimally. Minimally. One of the websites I frequent actually does devote some of their press to wrestling. So every once in a while I'll be on the crapper and I'll read one of the articles.
What a ringing endorsement that is. Sometimes I'll be digging a shit and reading about wrestling.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Jerry on our WrestleMania pregame show did say that the brand split was coming again. And I didn't quite believe him because it was such an abstract failure the first time. And yet there they are doing the brand split again. And so, I mean, I don't know what the purpose is, because they already are doing it where somebody from the other show will come attack somebody on the one show, and then that guy will go to the other show the next night and attack. And it's like they're already mixing it up. And what's the point? What are we doing? What are we talking about? Again, I'm not a wrestling executive. I haven't made billions of dollars like Vince McMahon, so what do I know? But Jerry called it. Jerry said the brand split was coming again, and there it is. And I don't quite know what the purpose of it is, because I'm not watching anyway. It still has not compelled me to start watching wrestling again. I will do what I've been doing the last few years, which is get back into wrestling around WrestleMania season and sort of catch up then, because there's nothing compelling me to watch before that. It's just not.
Well, it's a soap opera. You only have to watch it once.
But if it's a good soap opera, you want to watch it. If it's like Scandal, then you want to watch every week, because you can't wait until the next week. It's entertaining you.
It's more like Falcon Crest.
Oh, no. That's not worth watching every week. You just lost everybody under the age of 35, by the way.
Yep.
Who don't know what the hell.
Yeah, pretty much. Look it up, people.
So Jerry had a I believe I had that moment with the brand split. I had a I believe I had that moment, because what did I say? And you're not going to remember this, but what I said when I was talking about the WWE talent pool and how many guys were on the main show, were on the WrestleMania show, such as Zack Ryder and The Miz, and guys that I don't have any use for. I don't really ever need to watch wrestle again, because they're not all that good in the ring. They might be pretty good on the mic, but they're nothing to sneeze at in the ring. When you got guys on the NXT roster, which is their quote-unquote minor league, and what I said on the WrestleMania show, pregame show, was I could watch Samoa Joe against Shinsuke Nakamura, and they could go right now at the actual WrestleMania show. They could have a great match right now. They don't need to be in the minor leagues. But both of them in their late 30s, so it's not like they have anything to learn in the minor leagues. Both have been wrestling for over 15 years professionally. And what was the NXT main event of their big show a couple of weeks ago? Samoa Joe defending the NXT title against Shinsuke Nakamura. And they had an absolutely great, stiff match. It wasn't perfect. There was a couple botches in there. But my point was, you got guys that you could be having really good matches with that you got on your NXT roster, because that's sort of the wrestling brand. That's the brand that they put all the good wrestlers on, the guys that can actually get in the ring and go. And then you got the main brand, where they got all these guys that they're not good wrestlers, but they can really get on the mic and agitate and get people to hate them. And therefore maybe that's why they're there. I still quite don't understand the business model there. And then one more quick thing I want to get in. The PA announcer job that I applied for the Memphis Redbirds, which is the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals down here. If you recall, I told you that the guy that interviewed me, Taylor Moon, told me to my face that, you know, that Memphis Grizzlies announcer, the basketball, the NBA announcer, Rick Trotter, we want guys that sound like him. We want someone that's going to really excite the fans and really get people engaged. We really want somebody like that. And so the guy they hired, as bad as he is, and he gets names wrong and he still misses things and still doesn't announce guys, I'll say this, he's that guy. He's got the growling voice thing going, and he's what they're looking for. But they specifically said Rick Trotter, the Grizzlies guy, we want somebody like him. This was posted in the Commercial Appeal, the Memphis newspaper down here, on August 9th. 2 days after the downtown